Oldie Podcast presents Stephen Glover on Splash, a satire on press and politics. The Oldie Lunch is brought to you by Noble Caledonia, the world leaders in small ship cruising.
Our next author's title is simply Splash, which epitomizes his world of fire and ash, a world of press and politics at which he batters. He is, of course, our columnist on Media Matters. He is independent by nature and by definition. He co-founded that paper. And enough. This is my final edition. Fake news falls about deep and crisp and even. I'm hand in glove for the author, Stephen. Stephen Glover!
Thank you very much, Barry. Thank you. Talking about my allegedly comic novel, Splash, which is about the press. And the press at the moment isn't necessarily loved by everybody. Journalists certainly aren't. But I'm sure that discriminating oldie readers will have a more generous attitude towards journalists than many other people. There was a time not long ago when Fleet Street literally, or journalists literally, wrote on a sea of alcohol. Unfortunately, those days have passed. Journalists now tend to be serious and sober figures who peer forlornly into their screens. But within living memory, it was very different. And I was looking the other day at a book written, oddly enough, by Harry's father, Ferdinand Mount, called Cold Cream. I don't know why I'm recommending another book, but it's a very, very good book. Anyway, Ferdinand Mount describes his first day in Fleet Street, which would have been sometime in the 1960s, when he was a young leader writer on the Daily Sketch. And he was taken under the wing of the political editor. At 11 o'clock, the political editor said, "I think we'd better go and just nip down to the pub." So they went off to the pub, and he was given, without being asked, a pint of Guinness. And then when he demolished that, the political editor said, "I think we'd better have a double whiskey as a chaser, because Guinness can chill your stomach a bit." They then went back for the morning conference briefly before returning to the restaurant for lunch, where there was now another person. So between the three of them, I think they demolished all each. They had a couple of gin and tonics and then a bottle of wine each. And then the young Ferdinand Mount did his first work of the day around about 3 o'clock. He wrote a short leader, maybe 200 words, and then off to the pub again for more gin and tonic. And it really was like that. I mean, a lot of work got done, but a lot of drinking got done too. And by the time I fetched up in Fleet Street, which was as a young leader writer on the Daily Telegraph almost 40 years ago, I think, I mean, perhaps the high watermark, the glorious high watermark of alcoholism had passed, of alcoholic abuse, I should say. But it was still going fairly strong, and Bill Deeds, the then editor of the Daily Telegraph, had thoughtfully fixed the leader conference at 3:45 in the afternoon, and that was the first time you were expected as a leader writer of any sort to show up, leaving a lot of time for drinking beforehand. And even then, there were about 8 or 9 leader writers and only 3 quite short leaders, so the chances were that you wouldn't have to write a leader, so you could go straight off to the pub. Well, that world has, for good or bad, passed. I should say, by the way, that there was one leader writer in those days who got so tanked up that he felt it inadvisable to offer any verbal opinion on any matter. And he sat at the back of Bill Deeds' room month in, month out, without ever opening his mouth, like some sort of fat toad. And he never wrote a leader, at least not while I was there. The hero of my book is called Sam Blunt, and he is in some ways a throwback to that almost vanished world. He likes a drink. He likes a bottle of wine at lunch. He likes going off to the Half Moon, which is the pub closest to the Daily Bugle where he works, and where his job is in some jeopardy because he's written fewer articles than anybody else in the preceding 6 months. And Sam has other weaknesses, apart from drink. He's got a weakness for women. he likes them rather too much for his own good and probably rather too much for their own good. I think if Sam were here today with us, we probably wouldn't like him very much, and I don't think he'd like us very much either. He'd be a sort of scruffy character. He wouldn't be wearing a tie. Probably wouldn't be wearing a suit. He'd be generally a bit of a mess. He'd think The Oldie was the most ridiculous publication. He would think it was utterly ridiculous. He wouldn't think it was real journalism at all. I'm sure he'd think I was a complete prat. But the thing about Sam is that he is brave, and for all his faults, he has this primitive urge to discover the truth at any cost. And he's not frightened of prime ministers or press proprietors or politicians or Chinese billionaires. There's a Chinese billionaire in the book. Sam is not frightened of anybody, and that's to his credit, I think. He has the most unlikely partner, who's called Benedict Brewster. Benedict is about 21. He's just come down from Oxford. He's serious-minded, earnest, a bit of a clot, actually, but a nice clot. And he knows nothing about journalism, and Sam tries to teach him, thinking in the first instance that he's unteachable.